103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan. One of 3.2 Dublin City FM. This is The Sod Show with Brian Green, Peter Donegan, Katrina Redmond with you until 3:30 here on the radio. How's it going? Did you have a good week? We did at The Sod Show. An amazing week. Now, on the show today, we'll be talking with Nathaniel from Indonesia. We like to take things global from time to time. We're talking Java. We're talking Indonesia. We're talking coffee growing. All coming up in the next half hour. With thanks to our sponsors, greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out on the internet at www.greensacks.ie. Check them out in the supermarket where you can drop greensacks into your shopping trolley. Ideal for use with your kitchen brown waste. If you've got a brown waste collection, it's ideal for that kind of stuff because they're compostable bags. Now, just before we go to today's feature on coffee, we have some news in from our old friends in Sonarta, and they're telling us that the Learn the Art of Fruit Tree Pruning is coming up with Pat O'Mara. He's Orchard Manager of the Irish Seed Savers Association, irishseedsavers.ie. That is a tongue twister. I have been practicing it. irishseedsavers.ie. In the morning, participants will cover the theory of fruit tree pruning and be introduced to the tools of the trade. Practical demonstrations will be given in the afternoon. Participants will be brought around Sonarta's walled orchards with pruning considerations highlighted. Finally, participants will have an opportunity to put the morning's theory into practice. The main pruning techniques taught will be open centre and pyramid styles. Learning about rootstocks, tools, types and habits. The walled orchard dating from the 1750s contains 27 varieties of old fruit trees, including heritage apple, pear, damson and grape. I've never heard of a damson, so I googled it. And it's a kind of a plum. Of Tamsin trees. It's on Saturday 29th of November, 10 to 4 p.m. The cost is €60 and it includes tea, coffee, scone and lunch in that wonderful little cafe they have in Sonarta. Booking inquiries go to sonarta.ie, that's spelt sonairte.ie, or you can telephone 041 982 7572. That's sonarta.ie, November 29th. Now, if you want to get in touch, at Sodshow on Twitter, This Sodshow on Facebook, info@sodshow.com for the email. If you have any news for us, if you've got anything you'd like to tell us about, if you'd like to feature on The Sodshow, do get in touch. And you never know, we could be talking to you really soon. Let's go to today's feature. Peter caught up with Nathaniel from Indonesia and we're talking coffee growing.
103.2 Dublin City FM, Ireland's best podcast. I don't know whether we are still, are we? I'm not too sure. Brian, maybe you can confirm that. In the meantime, in my company is...
I'm Nathaniel from Indonesia.
Nathaniel, what do you do as your day job for those listening in podcasts around the world?
I'm a coffee farmer, and also I'm trying to make the best out of the coffee.
Can I ask you, you seem like a young man, but I should ask you your age, just for so we can paint a picture for those listening at home.
I'm not that young. Maybe I'm 10 years older than you.
That makes you 32?
More.
You're 62?
No, of course not. I'm 44.
Okay, you're 44. That makes you... Okay, so the oil of Ule, that the younger-looking skin thing is obviously working. I've been watching too much pay-for television.
It's because of the coffee.
It's definitely because of the coffee. Okay, so for those who don't know, my Twitter bio actually has coffee noted in it. It's for a good reason. Bring me all the way back. Are you the son of a farmer's son? Or were you reared on a coffee farm? What's the picture at home like?
Okay, my hometown is in Bandung, West Java. So Bandung is kind of like a bowl, meaning we're surrounded by 14 volcanic mountains. One city is surrounded by 14 volcanic mountains. So it means it's really fertile and the climate is really, really suitable for coffee. So that's why back then, during the 1700 years like that, the Dutch came to Indonesia, went to Java, went to our area and planted coffee there.
Most people in Ireland would know Java as in like a Java coffee or something along those lines. Without making it really like stupid or sounding childish or make myself sound stupid, that is, the Java name is obviously where you're from, that region area.
Yes, exactly. That's how the name come from. So they call it Java coffee. So because it was from Java.
Okay. My geography is a little bit bad. I don't know where Clonmacnoise is, and nor Turbocurdy and other places in Ireland as well. The picture at home, I understand and know very well farming. I'm from the North County farming area of Dublin. It's very, very beautiful, but it's also very, very flat in the sense that once the wheat has been harvested, we can see the trees and the hedgerows. Coffee trees are just a little bit taller. What are we talking about? What's the image when you wake up in the morning?
Okay, the scenery will be like this. The coffee plantation is planted inside the protected forest area. So we have a very big trees as the shading trees, because it's very important we have the shading trees for the coffee. So the coffee is kind of like, in Indonesia, we never let the coffee grow too tall, because it will be very hard for us to do the harvest. So that's why we maintain the height of the coffee trees at 180 cm, like that. So it means we prune them every time it's getting taller. So it's kind of like very nice 180 centimeters coffee trees all the way with all the big trees in between. Can you imagine that?
Okay, in Ireland, I know quite recently we had Con Trass on the show. Con is an apple farmer based down in Tipperary. If you don't know where that show is, just hit us up at Sideshow on the Twitter and I'll give you a link to that, or Google it, he'll come up. The apple farm, Tipperary, that is. In stereotypical apple farms in Ireland, what we have is a tree that is probably around the same height, about 180 centimetres, or at least they are in Con's place, and they are surrounded by poplar trees, which is the poplar species, I suppose, but it is literally for shelter belt, but mainly that is for wind. You use it for shading. Why?
Okay, coffee cannot have too much rain at the same time. Coffee cannot have too much sun, because during the flowering season, if the rain hits the flower, it will just drop off, so you won't have any harvest. And vice versa, during the fruits coming out of the coffee, you cannot have too much sun, because it will make the coffee getting ripe too quick. So that's the balance where the hot and the water. So that's why the shading is very important, to protect them from direct heat by the sun and the water.
Okay, so let me go back again. I am 5, 6, 7, 10 years of age. I live in Indonesia. I wake up in the morning and I say, "Dad, I want to grow my own coffee tree." I have tried growing coffee beans, as a by the way, in Ireland. We'll get to that in a short while. How does it work? Do I take a seed? Is it a grafting process? How do you do that? And how long does it take to become 1.80 meters in height?
Okay. Coffee, if you put the seeds on the ground, within 1 month, it will become a young coffee tree or a seedling like that. And then after 4 years, then it will start to give you the coffee cherries. So it's a long process. And also from there, it will go taller and taller and taller. So starting the 5th or 6th year, we will start to prune the top part to get to the bush like that. Yeah.
Okay, so you've got a 4 year wait before you get any return really on your harvest. How old is a coffee tree? And again, for the Irish, you might say, people in England listening at home, if you're not an apple farmer, I think I'm told about the lifespan is maybe about 15 years before production starts to, not production, but harvest starts to go on the decline. Are we on a similar wavelength?
No, for coffee, you know, we have several coffee, very old coffee trees It's about 300 years. It was, yeah, because, you know, the Dutch came to Indonesia about 300 years. We were occupied for 350 years, and until today, maybe 400 years. And it, this coffee tree is still giving a lot of cherries, a lot of fruits, and it's a very huge tree. It's tall. It's inside the jungle like that.
So what's it like for you? Were your parents coffee farmers? Were you born into this? Because, and again, I'll use contrast, the Dutchman of Dutch, well, the Irishman of Dutch parents living in Ireland who is the master apple farmer. And I asked him when he was born if he was born instead of having a suitor that he had a grafting knife maybe next to his cot. And he was, you know, the jokes were like that. I know Matt Neeson also, tree grower down in Cork. And it's... The best I seem to find are those who are literally born into it. They have an understanding that is almost like making a cup of tea or a cup of coffee in this case. You without even thinking, fill it, you put on the kettle, you do what needs to be done. How was it for you? What was the childhood like?
Okay. Actually, you know, I was born at a very simple family. So my dad was working for a motorcycle company, actually. So we didn't have any connection with coffee, and actually I couldn't drink any coffee back then. I was a photographer. I need the caffeine to stay awake because I need to take picture like at nighttime like that. But every time I drank coffee back then, I had a very strong reaction on my stomach. I got a very stomach ache, and I had a sore neck like that. So it wasn't nice at all. So I was getting very curious why people could drink coffee like 2-3 cups a day without any problem, and I am having that problem. So I went to Europe for a photo session. I got a job here. So it was very interesting because I could drink 2-3 cups a day without any problem. So that's starting my curiosity, and I start to learn about coffee more and more and more, and I found I am allergic to Robusta until today because there are two types of coffee, right? Arabica and Robusta. And I'm really allergic to Robusta until today. I have a very strong reaction to Robusta.
So do you now own a coffee farm?
Yes. I own a coffee farm because of that.
How did you... But I get the reason why you had a curiosity, yeah. Like or developed an interest into coffee or coffee production maybe, but what made you leave the... Very, I suppose, you know, when people say, what do you do for a living? You say, oh, I'm a photographer. Oh, my God, wow, you must be, you know, very good. And you decided to say, no, put that to one side. I want to buy... How many acres, hectares did you buy?
Okay, I started very small. I started with only 1 hectare, and now we are growing to 10 hectares. It's really small. It's still very small. You know, the reason why, maybe... people saying, oh, you are growing old now. Because, you know, during my photography time, yes, it's right. I have a very good living and earning like that. As you know, as a photographer, we make a lot of money. But in coffee, it's not that much. But, you know, a lot of people that we could help. Because, you know, I'm thinking, what legacy will I leave behind? So that's why I told you I'm getting old. So 40 people involved from the plantation until the coffee is in your hand. So if you drink 1 cup of coffee, you're helping 40 people to have their daily living.
How many people, is that so many people you now employ?
No. So let me, it's the chain, because, you know, from the plantation, there are farmers who do the job. And then from there will be somebody who carry the coffee to the processing plant. And in the processing plant, there will be a lot of people involved, like some will receive the coffee. Some people will process the coffee, meaning opening the skin. Some will dry the coffee under the sun, and it have to be racked time to time. And then after that, going back in, hulling, meaning opening the parchment skin, and then go back to the sun again, and then go back in again, where all the ladies, about 10 ladies, will start picking, hand-picking all the dirt, kind of like stones, sticks, those kind of things, until it become ready. It's clean from any defects, and then from that it will go to a sizing machine where the size of the beans will be separated, and then it's ready in the bag. And then from there it goes to the warehouse, and in warehouse have administration, have all these guys who do the lifting and everything. And then from there, it will go to the roaster. There will somebody do the drive the truck, also help lifting all the bags of coffee, and then arrive at the roastery. And in the roastery, there will be roasters and so on and so on. And in the coffee shop, there will be a barista. So in total, at least 40 people involved in this coffee.
Wow, okay. While you take all of that in, I'm going to go back to Brian in the studio. We have our own mates, they're Two Spots Coffee, they're twospots.ie, and they are, as we note them, the unofficial coffee suppliers to the Sideshow. I'm going to get a cup of that. I'll be back with Nathaniel after this song. Cheers, Brian, back to you.
You know, the coffee's not too bad at Dublin City FM either. I did check out Podcast of the Year, the Blog Awards 2014. It wasn't the Sideshow, Peter. The Anecdotes Pop Culture Podcast won our award. We've held it for 2 years and we have to hand it over to them if it was perpetual. Good luck to them. The very best of luck to them. 103.2 Dublin City FM, Song of the Week time, Coffee in the Pot. What else would it be? Seeing as Song of the Week is an instrumental, I thought I'd take this opportunity to tell you about something that's just hit our desks here at sideshow.com. Indiegogo, you might be familiar with this crowdfunding site. There's a crowdfunding effort for an 18th century garden for 21st century Ireland. Restoration of an 18th century RHSI walled garden at Rusborough House in Ireland. If you go to sodshow.com, we give you a link to Indiegogo, where they've currently raised €2,530. It'll be rising all the time. Their aim is to raise €75,000. So if you can get yourself in there, check out all the things you can purchase from €20 up to €20,000. It might be something there that you could help out with. And sodshow.com for that Indiegogo for Rusborough House. Hey. Supergrass, Coffee in the Pot, 103.2 Dublin City FM. Let's get back to talking coffee growing from Indonesia with Nathaniel and our Peter Donegan.
Still with Nathaniel of Indonesia. Way back when I tried to grow coffee beans in Ireland, all of the, the research that I did, Google, told me that I should grow it in vermiculite. For those who aren't aware, vermiculite is it's like gold flecks of shingle or silvery gold flecks of shingle that come shaped like a piece of salt, if that makes any sense. It's also an inert compound that has no fertile qualities at all, and usually remains very, very dry almost at all times, quite free draining. How is the soil in Indonesia? What is the best type? Do you have a low pH, a high pH? What makes a good coffee plant, or where would you not grow it equally?
Okay, for Arabica coffee, the very first thing, the most important thing, is the altitude of the land itself. It should be at least 1,000 meters above sea level. At least that's the very first rule, because it needs a cold climate, but yet very wet. So up there, it's really wet like that. And in this volcanic area, the soil is really, really fertile because of the compost. And because of that, the pH is around 5.7. So it means a bit acidic, but it's almost normal.
5.3 to 5.8, I think, is what we would consider normal compost or average soil in Ireland. Untreated peat. I correct me if I'm wrong, somebody out there, is a 4.8 to about 5.1, I believe, open to correction, and then peat treated with lime would raise the pH ever so slightly. You mentioned compost, you didn't mention soil. Why?
Yeah, because, you know, mainly the soil there, because, you know, is the protected forest area, the soil is coming from the fallen leaves like that, and it's really thick compost. And that's really good. And the soil underneath is coming from the ex-eruption material is all the dust from the erupted mountains back then. And it has a lot of minerals, a lot of good things for the coffee. So in Indonesia, it's actually, if you have any seeds, just throw it on the ground and it will just grow by itself.
Okay, look, I'm scratching my head, and I've studied horticulture. I'm sure there has to be Irish people. I say Irish mainly because we broadcast in Dublin City FM, but also in podcasts, people who live in Ireland, France. We know you're listening. Thanks very much for that. But temperatures, just to put in context, what's an average temperature for you? Maybe in Ireland we might have 11, 12 Celsius. What would you have?
We are quite warm. In my town, it's around 22 to maximum 30. That's what we have. But in Jakarta, our capital city, is around 30 to maximum 35.
And that's just an average day?
Yes, that's an average day throughout the years.
Okay, so then you add in about 6 months of rainfall.
Yep.
And you add in what you're telling me is the best leaf mold, I gather, naturally made in the absolute planet that has never been inside a bag.
Yeah. There is no mold.
And that's it. You just get the finest grown coffee trees in the world.
Yeah, that's what believe so. Because, you know, back then, the very first coffee exported was from our area, a big quantity like that by the Dutch. And this is because of the soil, the climates, and because of the forest that we have is so giving the natural fertilizer for our trees like that. So taste-wise also, you know, the taste, the notes of the coffee, you know, now people talk about, oh, this coffee is a bit lemony, this coffee is a bit nutty, this coffee is a bit chocolatey. And that's because of the combination of the soil, the type of the coffee that you've grown, and then the processing. And in Indonesia, believe it or not, in one estate that we plant, we could produce 25 cup profile, different cup profile from one plantation.
Wow, it's a lot to take in. Okay, let me ask you a couple of questions. Weeds, do you have a problem with weeds in coffee plantations?
No, we don't have that. Because if we have only one tree, and the police will be there.
Sure. No, I don't. Did you say no? I meant weeds, as in like as in, you know, you might have weeds growing in the lawn, not weed. Wow. Okay.
Sorry about that. Yes, of course we have. we have problem with that. So that's why, because it's like I told you, the soil is very fertile. So it's just grow. You can't see any open bare soil. Everything is covered by the at least weeds like that.
Do you try and control them?
Yes, we have the workers who go there every week because the weeds is going to the sheep, to the goats for their food. So it's okay.
Okay, so that's what you use the weeds for. You essentially you recycle them. You use them as feed.
Yes, that's what we do. Yeah.
Would it not be a case of that you should let the goats wander free through the trees to keep the weeds down?
Yeah, that, we have that idea across our mind, but and then during the harvest of the coffee, the goats will eat the cherries of coffee rather than the weeds. So that will be a problem for us.
Okay, we'll get to the story of how the goat found the coffee in a little bit. But diseases and pests that you have with coffee trees, for those of the more horticultural mind, I guess over here we would suffer maybe with things like powdery mildew or Phytophthora-type diseases, which is essentially as lots of rain, moisture, humidity, and a slightly higher temperature in still air. How does that all fare in Indonesia, and how do you treat them?
Yep, we have the only disease that attack the coffee tree in Indonesia is rust on the leaf disease. So it become kind of like it has kind of like rustic color, rust like that, and it starts spreading to all the leaves, and it will die. But now the government already create the what you call it, not the antifungi, but it's kind of like that, antibacterial things, but it's organic using organic materials. So we spray that on the tree, and then it won't happen, maybe.
Is that that's a? But you say that's organic. Do you know the base ingredient for that? By curiosity.
Yeah, yeah. That's made out of different plants. What you call it? It's kind of like lemongrass, something like that. I don't know what's the ingredients all, but it's made out of the all the natural source.
Okay. To finish up, before we go back to Brian in the studio, the story of how the goat found. It wasn't a human, as a by the way. It wasn't even me. But tell me the story. You were talking. We were giggling about this earlier on.
Yeah. Okay. The first thing. The first. Yeah, it's not human. The first who found the coffee in the world was a bear. It's a goat. So it's amazing how back then during 1600 years like that. The shepherd brought this herd of goat to these bushes, and he found that every time his goat ate these cherries of coffee, getting very energetic and having a lot of kids, a lot of the young goat, and he became very curious, and he tried the cherry, and it's really nice, it's really sweet, but is really thin in the meat of the cherry itself. So coffee is like, it's exactly like cherry, but the meat is very thin and the seeds is really big. So he just throw the what you call it, the seeds to the fire like that, and it becomes a very, what you call it, it gives a very nice smell. So he tried to find what is it, and then he gathered it, and he tried to eat it. But it's not nice, of course, because it's burnt like that. But he loves the smell, and he try again and try it again and try again and make a coffee drink.
And if I'd have known that in the first place, I probably wouldn't have asked the question of why don't you let goats in to keep the weeds down. And there you go. Nathaniel, thank you so much for your time. It's been a real genuine pleasure to see somebody, I suppose, smile the entire way through the last 28 minutes of this wonderful show. Thank you so much. A real pleasure to you. And the I have to say, the people of the Indonesian government who have helped to make this possible. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Peter. It's very nice talking to you. And hello to all the Irish here. And please come to Indonesia if you have time someday and visit our plantation for sure.
Excellent stuff. We'll have all the show notes, links, everything else up on sawshow.com. If you missed any of that and you're listening in the future, at Sawshow on Twitter or facebook.com/thesawshow. Brian, back to you, mate. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks, Nathaniel. Just time for the end credits, and thanks to greensax.ie, compostable bags for home and garden at greensax.ie on the internet. Thanks to Katrina Redmond for the blog, sawshow.com/news, where it all happens. Thanks to Peter Donegan, our producer and man with the microphone. I'm Brian Green. Back next Friday at 3 p.m. Do take care. Bye-bye.